Welcome to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust, covering car culture and the automotive world with Brady Wright and Steve, the producer, Johan. Let's see what's up this week.
And Ron Foreman. Let's not leave Ron out. You know, we got to get Quint to do a new ID.
Yes, we do. Yeah. Someone to do a new ID.
That's
for
right.
Us.
Maybe I'll do it. Somebody should.
Welcome,
Ron Foreman. Hey, we are here. Yeah, Ron could do it. That's right. Tuesday, June 23rd, 2020. This is our 142nd show.
That's
142.
Right.
142. And as we always mention, we are on iTunes. We're on iHeart Podcast, Spotify, of course, Podomatic.com. Want to thank you for liking and following our Facebook page because you're really cool about that, and all the latest shows are up there. And the YouTube channel is now getting more populated because Steve is engineering our video stuff onto YouTube.
Woo-hoo.
I watched one. It says something about me that I actually spent an hour watching myself on YouTube, but I did.
I don't do a lot of that. Once I get something done, I move on. And it's like I notice that the guys that are doing really well, they're in there commenting, and I will comment. So people, when you get on there, please leave
a
comment.
Send us a comment. Subscribe to the channel.
Subscribe.
It's all good. We really like that.
Good, bad, or indifferent.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
You can say, hey, Brady, your head is reflecting in the light. Never mind.
Right.
Shine on, baby.
Yeah. So this is kind of a special show. We're going to do something a little bit different from what we usually do. We're going to be talking to the owners of a business that's not really car related, but they have a huge impression on the car community locally here in the Pacific Northwest. More about them later. But right now, our first segment is always Back to the Blacktop. This is where Steve roots around in the trash and comes up really cool stuff about the automotive industry. And I just cannot wait to hear what you've got.
Well, sometimes I feel like it is the trash when I come across these things, but in reality, I've got some great stuff tonight.
Yeah.
I missed the story a couple weeks ago, but it was good to cover it tonight. I thought everybody might really enjoy this because it's a lesson that we can all learn from. A big wake-up call to anyone using a trademark name when building a replica. The creators of B is for Build YouTube channel had his 2015 Ford Mustang Eleanor project, a tribute to the famous 1967 Shelby Mustang hero from the 2000 remake of A Gone in 60 Seconds,
right,
was seized during a legal dispute with the owner of the Eleanor trademark, who is the widow of the late H.B. Helicki, who created the original 1974 film. And by the way, I think it's superior to the 2000 because it's no CGI.
It's a pretty good one.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
It's raw, and I like the more 70s raw stuff. According to the news brief, Chris Steinbacher of B is for Build didn't know this when he set out to build his replica car.
He didn't know that there might be copyright infringement?
Well, apparently not. So when the owner came across his work, she went after him. Not only was the car seized, but also the episodes related to it were scrubbed from the web, including his channel.
Harsh.
So currently they are in litigation.
Yeah.
The project aimed to create the Eleanor Restomod tribute began by stripping a 2015 Ford Mustang GT and grafting on a 67 body. It was a long way from being finished, but it had recently completed its first test drive. So I think this is a harsh lesson to anyone who goes to build a car. It might be just wise to just say, E is, you know, just come up with a catchy name, but don't use that Eleanor name.
You can say, I mean, obviously, you can build a tribute to
a
car.
You can
build a General Lee. You could build a kit, you know, car, David Hasselhoff's car. But you got to say, it's a replica, and it's nice if you call them or email them and say, you know, I'm doing this, and I just want your blessing before I actually, get the torch out, because these things are owned for a reason. It's like there's a guy who's driving around in a Batmobile. Okay, it's more than one, but this one particular guy, he's got a Batmobile replica, one of the original, the old George Barris Batmobiles.
Oh, right.
And he sometimes wears a Batman outfit just
because
it's his thing, you know, and he likes to go and do appearances.
He's a big fan.
Yeah, but he makes very clear this isn't the Batmobile. It is a Batmobile.
That's right.
And I am not Batman. I am a Batman.
That's right.
So he's like, he's being cool about it. But he talked with somebody before he did that because he can't just,
We've had copyright infringements with our car club.
I am sure you have.
Yes, we have.
Yeah. Yeah. In fact, if you go to the Rat Bastards page on Facebook, it says Rat Bastards TM. That's trademark.
That's right.
And there's a reason for that.
Well, and we could go down a long story on that. But the lesson is just check in with whoever owns whatever name to find out if it's okay. And if they want some basic royalty type stuff, maybe it would be worth it. Or maybe to promote them, maybe they'll cut a deal with you.
Or maybe you do something just a little bit different from the original.
That's what I was ultimately going to say. Just do a little bit different.
Yeah. Cars are fun. Lawyers are expensive.
They are. Can you imagine just saying the Bullet Mustang and then have a replica of the Bullet Mustang? I think you'd probably get sued on that one, too.
Well, I think you would.
but speaking of the Bullet, they actually auctioned that off about 6 months ago, and it was an original condition, like rusted and beat up and dented. It was the original, patina and all.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Ron, you said about $3
million.
$3 million. I know.
Yeah,
unbelievable.
Yeah.
It's parked in somebody's office, probably on Wall Street, and they're enjoying it. Speaking of Ford, Ford got the message, probably listening to our show, that is decided to push back the debut of its Bronco SUV from July 9th to the 13th in order to no longer have links to the birthday of O.J. Simpson, who was tried to flee from the murder charge. We all remember that. Oh, man.
Bad choice.
If it doesn't fit, you can't commit.
That's right. It was amazing.
You must acquit. Johnny Cochran. Thank you, Johnny, for giving us that.
Oh, my gosh. That's exactly right. Well, and then I came across this really interesting thing. As a motorcycle rider, you'll know about this, and I think it's going to be applying to cars soon. New seating technology applied to Indian motorcycles has been something automakers, I think, would like to add to their cars. It announced a breakthrough in seat cooling. Heating basically is accomplished this through conducting heat and cooling through the use of thermoelectric module located within the seat directly below, you know.
Yeah, it's underneath the upholstery.
Exactly. Yeah. Electricity is applied to the module, causing one side of the module to absorb heat and the opposing side to dissipate heat. By reversing electric flow, the hot and cold temperatures alternate sides. A graphene material, which is a nanomaterial created from 100% carbon atoms, is used to ensure heating and cooling dissipate. So I think that's really cool.
It is very cool. And heated seats in motorcycles, and cars for that matter, it's not new.
They've been doing them forever. Yeah.
But cooling seats is a little bit more complex
to do.
And
They've had gel packs and stuff like that.
I have actually a companion piece of information. They also make beds with this technology.
Oh.
There's a company called 8 Sleep and Purple and Lull. All three of them make one of these expanded foam beds, and they have a piece of, it's basically a cover, you know, like a...
So you can put it on your own bed.
Well, they sell it for that one. I suppose you could put it on your own bed, but it has a water jacket, or it has tech, wherein you can make it cool. It drops 5 degrees just before you start to wake up so that your body goes, it's a reason to get up. It's 5 degrees warmer when you go to bed, so that it snuggles in. It's really interesting tech, and it's not that complicated either.
No.
A couple $100 for the mattress cover. And I think they use some similar version of that for the motorcycle seats, because I looked at the story, and it's real similar, real.
And I'm thinking that's going to be applied to cars really soon, because my wife she opted for the heated seating.
Oh yeah,
couple $100 extra, and she loves it.
Oh yeah.
I don't need them, but my leather seats get very hot and wet in the summer in my van.
Yeah.
And so I could use something like that for my van.
Oh, cool. The advantage is it's really slim. It doesn't take up a
lot
of space.
No, it doesn't.
And it's, you know, relatively inexpensive given what you're doing. Not a bad, you know, the technology just keeps marching on, you know. It's
and good technology.
Next cool thing.
Good technology.
Rod's going to get a set of those for his hot rod.
Yes.
No. He's got no roof and no windows, but he's going to have...
I have an air conditioner in my bedroom.
That
sits on Marsha's side of the bed.
There you go.
But she would love one of those cooling mattress covers.
Why not?
Yeah,
right up her alley.
Well, in your hot rod that doesn't have any windows, you need a heating little heating seat underneath there to keep you warm.
We need heated seats.
Well, he probably has just electric.
Just put a can of Sterno under there. He'd be fine.
Snowmobile suits work real well.
Yes, they do. That's yeah, right, we won't go there. What I used to ride on my motorcycle, but what you kind of like a snowmobile outfit. State of Nevada is joining 14 other states in a coalition advocating for tougher clean car standards. And here we go. They're going to try to raise the rates again.
Well, that's the reason you do it.
That's right.
Hey, thanks for tuning in. Coming up on the Windshield View, Horsepower Chrome and Rust goes triple X.
And it's not what you think.
It kind of is. Cartoons Magazine is back. You know those crazy car comics from the past. They've returned in the all-new Cartoons Magazine, featuring some of your favorite artists along with a whole slew of brand new ones, all working together to bring you an entire magazine full of one laugh-out-loud auto-related story after another. Bi-monthly issues are available at your local comic book store, newsstand, and directly through Cartoons Magazine website at cartoonsmag.com. That's cartoonsmag.com, where you can subscribe to a whole year's worth of fun. Cartoons Magazine, there's nothing else like it.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
I'm more resourceful than I thought.
My suit can still make an impression.
My video games are still game changers.
And my lamp can bring others a bright future.
Because when I donate my stuff to Goodwill,
it helps fund job placement and training for people right in my community.
Now my stuff gets a second chance.
And will give someone in my community
a second chance too.
Goodwill. Donate stuff. Create jobs. Find your nearest donation center at goodwill.org. That's goodwill.org. This message brought to you by Goodwill and the Ad Council.
Listen and imagine. It takes 5 seconds to send a text, and for those 5 seconds, you're driving blind.
Life is worth more than a text.
Stay alive. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration. Project Yellow Light.
Hey, it's Hillary Nowak from Ink and Iron in Oakville, Ontario, Canada, and you're listening to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. We can't help you with the horsepower, but we can definitely help you with the chrome and rust.
In 95, I helped tow your trailer. And in 09, it was sparks from me, your chains, dragging behind your truck that accidentally started a wildfire.
Spark a change, not a wildfire. Visit SmokeyBear.com, brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service.
Hi, it's Jeff Conwell with the Monsters and Manson, giving a big shout-out to everyone at Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust.
My mind's out of gear, and my heart's in overdrive. I've everything to fear. I ain't never been more alive.
Welcome back to Horsepower, Chrome and Rust. We have a special guest today with Jose from the Triple X Root Beer Drive-In. Hi, Jose.
Hey, hey, hey.
Jose, man, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. How about you guys? How are you guys doing today?
Better? We're super. We'd be a lot better with a root beer float, though, but I know can't hand one through the deal.
You know, we ran out.
Bet you did. Father's Day weekend.
I'll bet you did. Yeah. Well, just so everybody is clear, before we did this segment, I said we're doing something a little bit different. You know, we don't usually we talk about car, you know, stuff.
Right.
But I said we're doing something. It's not really a car business yet. It's a business that has a huge impact on the car community in the Pacific Northwest. So Triple X Root Beer Drive-In, you guys are out in Issaquah, Washington, which is a suburb of Seattle, just a little bit east on the way up I-90 over the passes, a beautiful town. And this is probably, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, isn't it one of the last Triple X's that still has the barrel in the entire country? There were a lot of them for a while.
So from what I understand, yes, there were a lot of them. I think there was up to about 79 back in the day.
Wow.
I mean, they were everywhere.
Yeah.
Everywhere from Eastern Washington all the way over here to Seattle, several in Seattle, Burien, Tacoma. I mean, obviously I wasn't around back then, but from what I understand, yeah, there was a lot. And we are the last ones left there with that barrel on top of that roof.
Yeah. Somebody said in one of the pieces of research, I went on Facebook and YouTube and stuff and tried to find some more information about the brand, you know. And apparently there's still one that's got the barrel back east somewhere.
West Lafayette in Illinois or Indiana?
Yes.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, they were a direct competitor to A&W.
Yeah.
That's really what they were. They were a direct competitor, kind of like Denny's and Sambo's was back in the day.
Sure.
And
yeah,
and even like the A&W today is not the same as it was back in the day. I mean,
now it's kind of a franchise.
Yeah, and
you know, me too.
The food doesn't taste near as good.
But that's the one good thing about Triple X is
yes.
The food is the same. The root beer floats, my God, they are the absolute best. But the whole point of bringing you on, and we really thank you for taking the time, is that the Triple X is like the car show mecca of the entire Puget Sound area. I mean, every weekend from February to about, well, December, I mean, there's probably a couple months when you don't do much. There's at least two car shows, sometimes three, and sometimes more than that, plus cruise-ins people all week. Your place is like a mecca. Everybody that ever had four wheels, or sometimes six or eight, shows up down there sooner or later.
Yeah. Yeah. Or two wheels. You
two wheels.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of biker stuff.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, not that it's the first time, but the first time I was involved in shows down there.
Biker Babes and Burgers.
Well, I was the director of one of the local hog chapters for a long time, and we used to come down there. You do Jose's crew does the thing that I really enjoy. They ask you, say, okay, what do you want? Well, I'm going to have one of these things and two Rupert floats or whatever. And so they say, so what's your road name? And so then instead of calling Brady, they say, Kickstart, come on. it's pretty cool. Yeah, and you never
like
forget.
We like to keep it fun. You know?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Get in there with the people, you know. It's,
yeah.
Well, like to have fun.
You've got every car sticker and every bike sticker known to mankind all over your windows and your door
too.
And parts and everything.
Donated parts, yep.
I need to step back and let's go back to the very beginning of when your father purchased this. How long ago was that?
So I think it was 1998. I know we've had it since 1999. In 1998, funny story, him and his wife were at a thrift store, and they were walking around the thrift store. You know, she's looking at clothes and whatnot, and he's just holding the purse and wandering around like a zombie, like, you know,
yeah,
how we do.
That's a job.
She actually physically ran into the wife of Norm Lipkin. Norm Lipkin was the owner before we were. They bumped into each other, turned around and said, oh, I'm so sorry. You know, no, it's okay. And they, you know, got to talking. Then the two ladies introduced the two husbands, you know, my dad and Norm. And then they got to talking. And the conversation led into, you know, what is it that you do for a living? My dad said, oh, I've been in the restaurant business for, you know, so many years, 28 plus years at that time. And Norm said, oh, that's funny. He says, I actually own a restaurant that I'm trying to get rid of. And he says, oh, really, where at? And he says, oh, out in Issaquah, Washington. You ever been there? Yeah, we've driven, you know, through there before. Being that my dad was a part of a lot of Mexican restaurants in the area, he knows the owners to Las Margaritas, which is
sure.
Right there on Front Street. Yeah. And so he says, yeah, my buddy Oscar, you know, Margarita. So anyways, they get to talking and Norm says, would you be interested in purchasing the restaurant? It's on its last leg. We're about to go out of business. He says, I got to get rid of it. And my dad said, sure, we'll take a look at it. So he went over there and they met up. They went inside the restaurant. Norm explained everything that was going on with the restaurant and how it functions. And then it just went from there. They struck a deal, got a loan, purchased the restaurant. And man, what a cruise it's been.
No doubt. Well, and speaking of cruises, one of the things that, I mean, you know, you can sell a pretty darn good hamburger, you can make an awesome root beer float, but when you make a destination for people, it really kind of, it ends up being sort of, you know, personalized in a way, and I think it's fair to say that the whole personalization of that place, because I got one of your calendars here. This is a couple of years ago because there you go. We're going to put this on the website. I mean, and we're going to give people all the ways to get there. It's XXX, but the thing is, the inside of the restaurant, it is covered wall-to-wall, floor-to-ceiling, front-to-back, top-to-bottom with car memorabilia and car club stuff, and it all kind of started with a hubcap, right? You got a hubcap from one guy, and that's what started this whole thing?
Right. So when we purchased it back then, it didn't look like what it does now. We've put a lot of blood, sweat, and tears into this place. And it used to have like a real dark green color booths, and it had carpet. There was no checkered tile floor in there. It was very, very bare bones. And when we picked it up, my dad just, you know, started changing things here and there, pulled up the carpet, found the checkered floor, was like, whoa, look at that. And so we shined it up. And we started actually understanding the history of it, you know, because we didn't know. My dad didn't know. And so after a couple of weeks, I would say one of the customers that usually would go in there, he was a regular. He came in. He said, you know, I got this old hubcap. I don't want to throw it away. I don't know what to do with it. It used to belong to his, I don't know, 1937 pickup, whatnot. And my dad said, oh, he gave it to my dad. And my dad, you know, on the spot said, well, how about this? What's your name? Took his name down, wrote it down on the back of a receipt. He said, what city are you from? Wrote that down, grabbed the piece of scotch tape, stuck it to the hubcap, and said, I'm going to put this right here. And the guy said, yeah, you do whatever you want with it. So he put it up there in that one spot. It's still there, actually.
That's cool.
And it just started snowballing, man. It is amazing the things that some of these customers and friends of ours have brought us. I mean, it's insane.
I cannot tell you how many times I've been there, but every time I go, you know, we don't always sit inside. Sometimes we're outside, you know, it depends on the next day. But when we're inside, we try to sit someplace different. I cannot believe the variety of stuff that's in there. I know I haven't seen half of it.
It's a museum.
Yeah, I spent a lot of time just staring at the wall, which, you know, I'm not sure what that says about me. But there's a ton of stuff in there, all kinds of stuff, car parts, and every one of those parts and pieces and things kind of represents somebody who's connected to XXX somehow or another, or to you guys.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's turned into that. A lot of people, they'll go in there and they want to purchase some of the things that are on the wall. There's some really, really antique things on there. And unfortunately, we have to tell them no, because it has become that. It's the people. It's their restaurant. They come in and they leave a hubcap, they leave a stoplight, they leave a dash pack, whatever it is, and it belongs to them. We always tell them it's a loaner. Anytime you want to come back
absolutely.
And get it, right there on the wall. And so for that reason, we protect that, you know. And when they come in, you know, they bring their family and they want to show them the pictures, they want to show them the car parts, they have that sense of belonging.
It's a museum. It's like about. A people's museum. It's really cool.
Yeah.
Hey, hold the thought. We are going to talk more about this when we come back on the other side. Obviously, we are in the middle of the windshield. You, Jose, and Ciso is our guest from XXX Root Beer Drive-In in Issaquah. Three, maybe four. Absolutely. We're going to do all of that. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about some of the shows and stuff that happened down there, because there is just no end to that stuff.
No, there
is
not.
Stick with us. We'll be back. You're into cars, you love a good time, and you'd rather build it than buy it. You might just love the Rat Bastards. The Rat Bastards Car Club is a family-oriented, non-profit organization. We believe in 1969 and older, in the rough is enough, real steel and iron, old-school, traditional hot rods and rat rods. We get together, have fun, help each other, and love to drive them. Your build is our build, because that's the way car clubs are supposed to be. The Rat Bastards are a new class of old school, and our signature event is the Infestation every July. Find us at a cruise in all over the Puget Sound and on the Rat Bastards Car Club page on Facebook.
More horsepower, chrome, and rust after these messages.
Hi, I'm Danica Patrick. Watching my nieces grow, play, and learn is amazing, but not every child gets to be carefree. 1 in 6 kids in the U.S. are hungry. This breaks my heart, and it's something that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and gives it to families in need. To help, visit feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
I adopted Bento in 2010 from a shelter. A lot of people know him as Keyboard Cat.
That's just one adoption story that started at a shelter. Visit theshelterpetproject.org to find a pet near you. Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States.
You're listening to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. This is Mark Green from Cars Yeah. I've got horsepower, I've got chrome, but I've got no rust.
Nurse, set up an IV. And you, her boyfriend, you were the driver?
Yes, doctor, but I didn't mean to hurt her. I only had a few drinks. I was just buzzed.
Just buzzed? Oh, then your girlfriend is fine.
Hey, sweetie, I feel great.
She's really okay?
What, are you kidding? No, not really. Nurse, get me a suture kit. Stat.
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation and the Ad.
Back in Vehicle City. Back with the second half of Windshield View, Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust, with Jose Jr. with the XXX Root Beer Drive-In.
You got it. And before the break, we were talking about what kind of show calendar. We showed it before, but I'll put it up here again. And it's going to be on the Facebook page and the website as part of the link to the show. There is almost no place in the Northwest that I can think of that has a single location with more car events per year. I mean, you guys really roll that, you know, thing out. And you got a pretty big parking lot. What's the capacity of the parking lot out there?
Oh man, I want to. Marv Nielsen, he would know this. He's with
I know what it is.
I'm sorry, Sunset Highway Cruisers. Yeah, He was there way before we were. He was doing shows with Norm, but he would know this off the top of my head. I want to say 168.
Ron says he knows. What?
The medical facility parking lot's about 130 cars. But you got to cross the street. Across the street, you can get about 30, 40 cars in one lot there, and you get about 30 cars in the other one.
So, all right. So you're right around
his? You're pushing 175.
200. Yeah, you can push 200. And the cool thing is, I guess when you guys bought the place, it had one of those gondolas out there where cars could kind of pull in and get you know, car hop service, but you blew that all out, so you had more room for cars, right?
So when we bought it, all of that, the driving part, is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
I think that was already all built around. They had already built around that. So now they're just office spaces.
Yeah. Because I know for a while, in the original days, back in the old days, didn't they have car hops? I mean, you could get service outside in your car. Yeah. But all that now, it's picnic tables and stuff outside the main area. So I got to ask, because, you know, every club that I know of, and you obviously know more than I do, they all want to do a show out there at some point or another. And there's quite a competition for who gets what weekend and how you're going to do it and stuff. And I know it's got to be a juggling act every year to figure out how you're going to put, especially this year. I mean, nobody got to do shows. And now, I mean, next year, I'm sure it's going to be even worse. So give me the philosophy. What's the trick?
So it's basically on the first come, first serve. Ron can attest to this too, because he had his show back there for quite some time, and then I think they ended up going elsewhere, and then he came back. To come back, it's pretty tough, because as soon as a date opens up, I mean, we have clubs, 10, 15 clubs, you know, in line waiting for an open date. As you can see from the calendar, from March to December, you know, we got a show every single weekend.
Oh, yeah.
So it's on a first come, first serve basis. Usually, when guys within the calendar want to trade dates because they might have some conflicting dates with other shows that they participate in, we try not to encourage it too much, because we don't want, you know, any kind of like confrontations or anything like that. But every once in a while, you'll get two clubs that are like, hey, man, I'm cool with it. Are you cool with it? And they're like, yep, we're good to go. And they'll swap, you know, dates. The only thing that we ask is that they give us those actual dates before we make the calendar, obviously, right?
Sure.
And send it out.
Yep. Sure.
But it is definitely a juggling act. I mean, it's been that way for, I think we just celebrated in March, 21 years out there.
Wow.
Yeah. And I worked there for about 12 years. I still work there on Sundays. I go and help out on the car shows. But when I got there, we had five shows. And Marv Nielsen, you know, was in charge of those. And then Dad put me in charge of the car show department. He said, I want you to bring them in. Whoever you can, you know, however you can do it, just start bringing them in. And then when I left after 12 years, we had 42 or 43 shows.
Yeah. Wow.
So, I mean, we pulled them in. And it's, I know the count, what Ron was saying, 130 up top. There's a few more downstairs.
Yeah.
But you can tell by the flyer, that big screen or that big street shot that you see out there.
Yeah.
I mean, we have had, I mean, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of cars out before at one time.
Oh, yeah.
Well, depending on the club involved, I mean, I got two clubs that I'm part of. Steeds is one of them, of course, and Rat Bastards is the other.
Oh, yeah, yeah, Steeds,
Yeah, and, you know, depending on who's doing what, I've parked cars out there, and, you know, you're out there for quite a while just getting people situated, and sometimes you got to move people back and forth, and, you know, it's people don't realize what goes into producing car shows. If it's the other thing that I do besides this. And there's a lot of logistics, and you guys do this sometimes Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I mean, every week it's another circus out there.
I got to butt in real quick. Is there do you guys have like a fee that goes into it so that it reserves, you can take care of them that way?
We don't like to charge for people to have other shows out there. Usually what we'll ask is that they donate to LEO, Life Enrichment Options, and that's an organization that Marv, and the Sunset Highway Cruisers has been part of for many, many years. They help build homes for mentally disabled adults.
Right.
They help, you know, get them jobs, clothes, furnish their homes.
Excellent.
So that's kind of been our charity for many, many years.
Very good.
What we do charge for is maybe a porta potty. A lot of shows, they'll take two porta potties, and the deal is we'll pay for one, XXX will, and then the club pays for the other one. So other than that, you know, there's no real charge. We like to be generous with gift certificates, with t-shirts. Coca-Cola jumps in. They sponsor us, you know, quite a bit. So they give us bikes, they give us coolers, they give us all kinds of things that we're then able to turn around and give, you know, to the shows.
Yep.
We do. We obviously deal with a lot of meat patties. So I know we've done this at Ron's show. We'll give away cases of bacon.
Are you giving out? You giving us Coca-Cola coolers and T-shirts and stuff for us to raffle off for the charity.
Sure. Yeah. And you know, if a case of bacon ever happens to fall off the truck, I know I know somebody who. Hey, I got a question about the city of Issaquah, where you guys are. I mean, you're pretty close to the freeway. You're in Issaquah, but it's pretty close. They're no slouch for car shows either. They have a really, really big one out there called Fenders on Front Street, and it's a huge show in the season. But when they do their show, you guys end up, you know, getting the benefit of that too, because everybody goes there, you know, to play. And do you get involved in Fenders on Front Street as part of their venue on that weekend?
Sure. So, funny story. We actually started Fenders on Front Street. It actually started at the XXX. I remember the first year we did it. It was this big idea that I had. I pitched it to my dad. He said, "There's no way you'd have to go and talk to the mayor of the city and try and talk her into it." So I remember going into the office of the mayor, pitching this idea. And then we had to go through and talk to every single business on Front Street because that meant shutting it down. And how would it affect, you know, their business?
Sure.
So we went through, some businesses were on board, some were not. Most of them were though. And we kind of sold it as like, kind of like a Salmon Days thing. There's going to be hundreds of people walking through there. You're going to get a lot of business. Anyways, they ended up approving it. We did it. I remember the first day we started at the XXX and we, went all the way down to Jack's Grill.
Yeah.
We filled up the entire street. It was probably about 97 degrees that day. That took a lot of organizing. And then the second year wasn't too hot. The weather was down. Eventually, the city ended up coming in and saying, "Hey, can we pull this from you guys? We know you guys have a lot of shows." And honestly, we were kind of like, "Yes, please."
Thank you.
You guys fund it. You guys do everything. Because, I mean, aside from that one, we had, you know, 41 other shows. That's a lot.
Yeah.
So now what they do is they start down at, you know, Jack's Grill on that end, and they work their way up towards the XXX.
Yep.
So, yes, we're still heavily involved. Issaquah is XXX, and XXX is Issaquah. So we're conjoined at the hip, you know. So, yeah, we definitely support them, and they support us.
From where that show started to today, I mean, I do the Edmonds Classic, and I also got involved with Seafair last year doing the car show up there. And Seafair, of course, is in a whole other league. But Edmonds, we get 10,000 people, you know, for that show, and it's a one-day deal. And I know Fenders, it's got to be 10,000 or 20,000 people up there. It's got to be
honestly,
that by now.
I'm behind the counter, man. I'm flipping burgers and making shakes.
Well, you're probably selling. You're selling 10,000 burgers, aren't you? I mean, you could just do a patty count. You're probably there.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Well,
definitely.
I had a question. Since it is the one or the second only existing XXX root beer, is it happen to be set up on like a national heritage landmark kind of thing? Oh. Have you done any of that kind of thing?
So from what I understand, when we bought the restaurant, it was already named a historical landmark.
Very good.
So, cool. You know, God forbid any day that things should go south, I think that the XXX would always stand. I mean, we would want it that way. But, I mean, honestly, we're not going anywhere anytime soon. That place is rocking and rolling. And like you said, it's the mecca. It's the hub of, you know, the car show world here in the state of Washington. It's the hot spot. We've had it called the hot spot, the Mecca, Hot Rod Central. I mean, so many names go into it. We're not going anywhere.
Well, you worked really hard for that that set of, you know, titles. I mean, it's there's no doubt. People know. I mean, we had guys down from Canada last year. In fact, I'll tell you right now, one of the guys that came down last year for the Seafair show, he made a specific, he said, "Seafair's doing a car show? Okay, I'm there." Well, he drove down from Burnaby. And when he came in the door, he says, "How close are we?" The first thing he said to me, "Hi, Les, how you doing?" He says, "How close are we to the XXX?" And I said, "Well, here it's about 14 miles from here, but you know what? You could do it, and I'll save your spot if you want to." He didn't, but I think he went down there the next day. Everybody knows, man. Everybody knows.
Yeah, we get a lot of, you know, at our shows, we get a lot of people that come from, I mean, California, Oregon, Canada, Idaho. They travel, I mean, from really long distances, and the following is so great. I mean, we're honestly really humbled to be able to have that kind of relationship with the car world. And so what my dad does is, you know, he's up at the front counter most of the time, and he'll talk to people and he'll say, so where'd you come from? And, oh, we came from Spokane. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. And he always has a stack of gas cards. So he'll hand them a $50 gas card so they could, you know, fill up their car on the way home.
Hey, he's giving us some to give away. We had a guy from Montana. And we gave him a one. He gave me a $100 gas card to give this guy from Montana. It was really awesome. His name is Ron.
I got to butt in. Do you guys have shirts? Okay.
T-shirts for sale. We have all kinds of styles, all kinds of colors, from hot pink to black to neon green, yellow, orange. I mean, so we sell t-shirts, we sell hats, we sell beanies.
Some of them have my car on it.
Hoodies.
That's right.
Yeah, and with this whole COVID thing going on, we recently started selling masks. Black.
Oh, perfect.
With the triple XL nice. On them.
So oh, you get triple XL. You not have just a big burger on the front?
You know what? I told my dad it would have been cool to put a burger with a pair of hands. Like,
oh, yeah.
It. That would have been
really
cool idea. Yeah.
We got to go in on a combo shirt. A Horsepower Chrome and Rust Triple X shirt.
Yeah, there we go. We'll do an event down there.
Yeah, that's a thing.
You know what we like to do sometimes is we like to take a lot of the car guys. We'll nominate somebody and we'll pick their car and we'll actually put it on the shirt. I think, Ron, isn't your shirt on one of them?
Yes, it is.
Yes, his car's on.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, we've had
Ron's car.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
What's that?
Thank you very much. There was on the Greenwood. Yeah. It was on the Greenwood. It was a Greenwood show last year.
Yeah.
So we do that, and then when their show comes about, you know, we get together and we go out there, and you know, we say, hey, we got a surprise for you, and they're like, we show them the shirt, and you know, they go wild and stuff like that.
That's awesome.
Really cool. It's really fun. Yeah,
that's very cool.
Quite an honor.
And how many places, you know, how many venues do stuff like that? It's just
you know, what reminds me is when you go to the In-N-Out down in California, you can get a shirt, and they have it set up at each one of the locations. I bought one when I was down there. It was a special trip, and I did it as a memory of that trip. And then the other thing is Harley Davidson, always when you go to the dealerships, you could buy one of their shirts. And I'm thinking you probably get a lot of people who come through this area on their trip and make a specific part of their trip as stopping in. They get the shirt because it's, hey, I was there at the Triple X. I had a meal. Yeah. They get their picture, and they take the shirt. Am I correct on that?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know what? A funny thing that I used to do back in the day. We're competitive by nature, right? We would have customers come in with an In-N-Out shirt, and I'd say, hey, what are you doing with that In-N-Out shirt? You know, we'd hassle them, you know, give them a bunch of crap about it, and they say, oh, I bought it. You know, I said, take that off. I'll trade you for a Triple X
shirt
right
now. Yeah.
And the whole staff would egg them on, you know, and then they'd take the shirt off. We'd give them the Triple X one, and everybody would cheer and be happy. And nothing against In-N-Out. They got great food.
Oh,
I've been there many, many times.
Sure.
But it's just, you know, fun. We like to have fun with these guys.
Sure.
That is funny because I was building a deck, and I came into the local Dunn Lumber here in the Northwest, as you know, I was wearing a Lowe's hat. And I kept coming in there two or three times, and the guy behind the counter said, doggone it, which one of these hats do you want?
I
said, I'll take that one. So he grabbed the Lowe's and threw it away, and now I got the Dunn Lumber. So right on.
That's exactly right, man.
I mean, around the counter, we would give the guys, you know, their In-N-Out shirt back because, you know, like you said, those are the reason. They mean, but we just like to hassle them and have fun, you know. Same thing when they come in and they say, you know, hey, can I get a fork and a knife? A fork and a knife? What do you want to? Well, I got to cut my you don't cut your burger here at the same McDonald's. And, you know,
get them a trough.
Them a little bit.
Well, speaking of don't cut your burgers, you guys do sell a gigantic Mopar sized burger. I can't remember the name of it because I never thought I would actually eat one, but they're huge.
Yeah, it's actually called the Triple X Burger.
That's
the big daddy of them all.
Yeah. It's like, what is it, 3 pounds, 4 pounds? It's a huge burger.
I mean, it's the size of a hubcap. It's three patties, three cheeses, grilled onion, lettuce, tomato, onions, pickles, fries, grilled onion, two jalapenos. I mean, we throw everything on that thing.
it was super good. And I tried for years to work my way all the way through the menu. I'm about a third of the way.
Well,
I found some favorites. I found some favorites.
Yeah, there you go. Well, you know, it's been really great having you on, Jose, and we really appreciate this. And we'll make sure to get the link up for everybody, and
absolutely,
they'll enjoy it. And guys, check out Triple X Root Beer. You're listening to the greatest automotive information world in the known world, and cool hot rod story coming up next on Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust.
Thanks, Till Jose. Senior High. Till Senior High.
Thank you, guys. All right, I will. Let them know. Right. Thanks, guys.
See you guys.
Excellent.
Today we decided to walk to school. The light counted. 15, 14.
31? I mean, 13?
We took a left on Carroll Street. Danny's smart, but he gets distracted.
I realized
he forgot his homework.
I hope he doesn't have another bad day at school.
When you can see learning and attention issues from their side, you can be on their side. That's why there's Understood.org, a free resource for the parents of the 1 in 5 kids with learning and attention issues. Go from misunderstanding to Understood.org.
Stick around. We'll be back after these words.
Cartoons Magazine is back. You know those crazy car comics from the past. They've returned in the all-new Cartoons Magazine, featuring some of your favorite artists along with a whole slew of brand new ones, all working together to bring you an entire magazine full of one laugh-out-loud auto-related story after another. Bi-monthly issues are available at your local comic book store, newsstand, and directly through Cartoons Magazine website at cartoonsmag.com. That's cartoonsmag.com, where you can subscribe to a whole year's worth of fun. Cartoons Magazine, there's nothing else like it.
I adopted Bento in 2010 from a shelter. A lot of people know him as Keyboard Cat.
That's just one adoption story that started at a shelter. Visit theshelterpetproject.org to find a pet near you. Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States.
Hey guys, this is Carl with Garrett's Rod Shop on Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. And these guys are great, so listen up.
I want to thank my mommy for loving me so much.
For taking me to the doctor when I broke my foot.
For leaving me alone when I wanted to be alone.
And now, as a grown-up, I'm thankful for being able to take care of you, my dear mom. For taking you to your therapies. For understanding that sometimes you simply want to be alone.
Roles change without us noticing. That's why AARP gives you the information to provide even better care for your loved one. Visit aarp.org/caregiving.
This is Vince LaViolette from Shelby American in Las Vegas, and you're listening to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust.
It's time for Cars Confidential, and we're back with another story from Lance Lambert. What's up this week, Brady?
This week, oh, shoot! No, that's actually the name of the story.
Oh, shoot.
Dang. As in C-H-U-T-E. And I don't think it has anything to do with parachutes. Maybe it does. I don't know.
Parachute pants. Remember those in the 80s?
Oh, please, man.
Thanks. Thanks for that visual.
Extra
there,
points if you remember the name of those pants.
Hammer pants.
No. Well, that was one name. But there was actually a brand name for them.
No, I do not know that.
Zubaz.
Oh, wow.
Z-U-B-A-Z-Z. Zubaz was the brand. Nah, don't ask me why I know that. I never personally wore them.
Sure.
Well, in the 80s, I was into playing music in bands, and I loved the pink and the fuchsias and all that kind of stuff for the pants.
Yeah.
I loved it.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, so this one is, in fact, called Oh Shoot, and it is from Fenders, Fins, and Friends, Confessions of a Car Guy, Lance Lambert's 986th book, which he's very kindly let us read because he basically gets free publicity out of it, and there's nothing wrong with that. So, this one...
I have a copy.
You have a copy of
Fenders,
Fins, and Friends?
Yes, I do.
Of course you do. Everybody does.
Autographed.
You should. I don't know if this one's autographed or not. I think it is.
Mine's up on the shelf.
Autographed?
No.
Yes.
Unless he
has it
in the back. Well, I'll have to get him autographed.
Yeah, you have to get him autographed.
If I could tear him away from his radios. So the stories I tell are usually about cars in one form or another, and this story is about an unpowered, unwheeled form of transportation under the control of an unintelligent 13-year-old boy. So my father collected an odd assortment of stuff, resulting in my boyhood residence being a continuous and combination scrapyard and recycling center. There were piles of used plumbing fixtures, a junk motorcycle, a case of flare gun charges, and rolled-up sheets of roofing tar paper. You know, this... Yeah. There were several discarded workbenches that I turned into a pirate ship. Boxes of glass chandelier parts that I pretended were pirate treasure and dozens of gallon jugs that I filled with water and shot with my pirate's musket, which was a slingshot. Amongst the various cast-offs was an item that was the best of all, a camouflage green parachute.
Mm.
I see danger here.
Yes.
This military surplus freight parachute was used for dropping supplies into remote locations so GIs could have lots of yummy 2-year-old biscuits or whatever it was they were short
on. John Wayne bars.
That's right. building bricks is the other. It was a bit smaller than what would normally be used to float a nearly full-grown soldier to the ground, making it perfect to float this 13-year-old boy around the neighborhood. My first foray into the wild blue yonder was at a nearby Franklin Park. I reasoned that if I spread out the open parachute on the side of the hill and began running, it'd inflate and, well, do something dangerous and exciting. Now, this was long before I base jumping and parasailing and hang gliding and other two-digit IQ activities became the passion of many thrill-seeking, invincible young adults. So there I was. There I was, repeatedly running down the hill with a parachute behind me and occasionally actually filling it up, rose above me and transported me up and away from the ground. I floated for a distance of a few feet to perhaps maybe 50 feet. Now, this method of travel worked well for several flights until a takeoff that resulted in the parachute canopy traveling rapidly forward instead of slowly upward. Picture a cartoon where the hapless character's legs are spinning wildly as he attempts to keep up with whatever is forcing him to go faster than nature intends. Put my face on that character and you have a good idea of what was going on in my life at that moment. It all came to an abrupt end when a fence surrounding a tennis court stopped.
That's a tall fence,
forward
too.
Momentum. I was propelled into a metal post that left a lasting impression on my ribcage. To this day, I have a section of my ribs that don't reside where the rest of my ribs do.
Wow.
My flights around the neighborhood continued until the fateful day when I got tangled up in a tree, and as I attempted to extract myself, the parachute ripped, and I had to put my budding career as a skydiver temporarily on hold. 15 years later, I love when he does this. 15 years later, I found myself stepping out the door of an actual airplane that had been doing an excellent job of transporting me and was in no need of exiting. I repeated this mode of travel several times until the day my parachute decided not to properly open. That was also the day I retired from my adventures in unpowered transportation. Now, Lance doesn't say whether he was in the service or whether he was just taking skydiving classes, and I don't want to ask.
No.
Because I have my own skydiving story, which is the short version is, a friend of mine said, hey, we should go skydiving. And I said, why? Because it's cool, and if we go out to Issaquah, where Triple X is,
yes,
there used to be a place out there called Seattle Sky Sports,
yep,
and we could go and take, you know, so we did. The day we went out there was windier than heck and threatening to rain, but we went through the ground school. We learned about the chutes. We learned about the jumping procedure. We practiced jumping on the, you know, the lawn.
Sure.
And then and people were going up. They were just, they taking them up, dumping people out, come back, get another load, taking, you know, the whole thing. So it got rottener and rottener, if that's a word. And so our flight was about to go, and we were all geared up, parachute and everything. And it was going to be a static line jump, so you couldn't screw up. It was going to, you know, pull as you jumped out. And we were ready. We were ready. And the guy dumped out the three people that he took and came back down, and he said, you know what? It's really windy up there. We're not going to go anymore. And we went, ah, nuts. He said, but don't worry about it. Your guys are paid for. You can come back anytime, and we'll get you the next time. But the weather's just, you know, it's not safe.
Right.
All right, fine. Well, so do you think that we ever got the nerve to go back up there and try it again? No.
No.
I never did jump out of an airplane. And I'm not sorry.
You know, I've always wanted to do the hang gliding. And I went, when I lived in Phoenix, Arizona, back in 78, 79, they have Squaw Mountain, Squaw Peak, and a few other little hills. And people would get up there, and they'd catch the thermals coming off the desert.
Oh, yeah.
And they would just sit there and hover,
yep.
Oh, yeah.
For hours. And I said, that is what I want to do. I never have done it, but that just looked really, really phenomenal to me of just hanging there and just enjoying that. And then you can tilt it, of course, and you go down.
Yep.
But I have seen people where they do these bat wing kind of things.
A squirrel suit?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
People die in those things, and there's
terrifying.
A reason.
That looks
because
terrifying.
They're not... We're basically...
Well, you got to be pretty good to do one of those things.
I'm not ever going to do No.
Yeah. I built a hang glider when I was 19. This was when hang gliding was just getting started.
Yep.
Because I'm that old. And a friend of mine and I saw pictures, plans basically, mm-hmm, in a Popular Science magazine.
Yes.
And we said, by gosh, we can do that. We went out and bought some aluminum tubing and some, you know, Visqueen and some stuff. And this would work, right? So we built this thing. And we took it down to there's an old Army base here called Fort Lawton, and has a great big hill. It's out on the coast of Seattle in the Puget Sound. A lot of wind. And we ran down the hill at breakneck speed, attempting to get this thing off the ground. Well, bear in mind, we didn't really have any aeronautic design capabilities. We were just kind of glued this thing together.
Yes.
And
duct tape.
We didn't even have duct tape. We literally used glue.
Oh, wow.
We wrapped the thing around and glued it. That's terrifying. And I actually got up. I flew about 90 feet. Darn near as far as the Wright brothers did on their first flight.
Half a football field.
Scared myself. Well, 90 feet.
Yeah, half 90 feet. I said half.
Yeah, oh, half. You're right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Scared to death. And so my buddy said, I got this. You're just a weakling. I'll do. So he gets in hooks the thing. We didn't really even have a harness. We just kind of held on to the thing.
Sure.
And he gets in there, and he runs down the hill at breakneck speed and pushes the thing forward, and it lifted up like this, and it went. You've seen a kite lose altitude.
Yes.
It went, bam, and nosed right into the dirt. That was the end of our hang gliding career.
Wow.
Man. Hey, we want to thank Lance for letting us use the stories out of his book. It's a super cool thing. They're on Amazon, the Vintage Vehicle Show website, of course, your bookshelf. Would not be complete with all of them, and Fenders, Fins, and Friends is just one. There's also Grins, Gears, and Gasoline, I think that's the other one. And now he's got his career is moving towards being a professional storyteller, and he's pretty good at that as well. Yeah. So thanks, Lance, for letting us do that. We'll probably do another one next week, I would think.
Well, I just, all these kind of memories of when you're a kid, and I've got like a popular boys thing, a book at home that's like from the 30s that my dad had.
Yeah.
He passed on to me. And it's got a picture of a little boy on a little cart with wings. And I always thought, that's when I was a little kid, that's when I said, I want to do that. And then I saw the hang gliding, and I said, that sounds really cool.
That would be cool.
But,
hey. Well, the Nathan Lipinski Weekly Trivia Question is next. We got a peek at next week's show, so put it in park, stick around. I promise we'll be back.
Man, do I love card night. You ready, boys? You got a king?
Go fish, Dad!
Oh, come on! This is WWE superstar Titus O'Neil. It only takes a moment to make a moment. Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Hang on till right after these messages.
It only takes a minute to find out if you may have prediabetes, and you can do it at doihaveprediabetes.org. But you're probably not going to, are you? Kids, work, listening to the radio. You're busy, which is great because busy people can't get prediabetes. Oh my, I read that wrong. They can. Should have worn my glasses. So visit doihaveprediabetes.org and take a short test, because prediabetes can be reversed.
Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
Looking for a job worth talking about? Teaching is creative, collaborative, and intellectually challenging. See why teachers have better work stories at teachdfw.org and learn more about becoming a teacher. Brought to you by Teach and the Ad Council.
This is Scott Patterson with the Cruising to Colby Car Show, the place to play on Memorial Day. I want to thank our friends here from Horsepower Chrome and Rust for having us down, and we appreciate the day.
Did you hear the news? Cartoons Magazine is back. Yep, those car-crazy comics from the past have returned in an all-new Cartoons Magazine, featuring some of your favorite artists along with a whole slew of new ones, all working together to bring you an entire magazine filled with one laugh-out-loud auto-related story after another. Bi-monthly issues are available directly through the Cartoons Magazine website at Cartoons Mag.
Help us if you can. You're an El Camino. El Camino.
Sooner or later, we're going to get Steve's El Camino running. It'll be a great day. We're going to do video and everything. That's the show we're going to do from your garage.
Yes.
Halloween.
Ooh.
That's a target.
All right. All right. That works.
Well, and what would be interesting is the car will be hopefully in the garage, in starting to be in pieces, because I've got to put a beam across. I talked about this last time.
Yeah.
I got to put a beam, and now I got to get a hold of an engineering firm and get the permit to do it. And my wife's
you
like,
just call the city. They give
yeah,
you
yeah, but I have to get an engineering firm to come in and do a glue lam and everything. And I'll do the installation, but I need to have it built.
Well, you got to show them a plan.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. Well, that'll be fun. Well, so this, as usual, when we get to this part in the show, we're doing Around the Wheel, and this is where we usually talk about the upcoming shows and stuff. But since, you know, the COVID has been just killing us, there's not much in the way of shows. A lot of the clubs are doing cruises, and that's kind of cool, but they're kind of organic in the way that they start.
Yep.
You don't get a chance to actually set a date. We are, however, going to put up the calendar for Triple X, since they were our guests this week, and make sure that that's up there so that you can go there, because they kind of are the mecca for car shows. And
they
even
are.
If we're not having as many this year, we're going to have some next year. Last week had a great trivia question. It was what kind of started the whole idea of yearly styling changes in automotive design. Yeah. And they've been around for a long time, longer than I thought. Actually, it was Alfred Sloan. He was a GM vice president, CEO at one point. He kind of led them into becoming the world's largest corporation, and it was he who actually came up with the idea for yearly styling changes, something
wow.
to stimulate sales.
Yes.
Now, Nathan Lipinski actually got to us on Facebook, and he said, so was it Harley Earl? Well, Harley designed a lot of them for GM. He was, you know, one of their major styling chiefs for a long time. But he didn't come up with the idea. It was Alfred Sloan and, interestingly enough, Tressy Milliken, who lives in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, sent me an email and said she knew what this was. I suspect she Googled it. I don't care. Tressie's going to get her name on the certificate for the Barn Find Dust for this week.
What year was that? Do you remember?
There is no year. I don't have it in my little magic trivia.
They set
here.
The precedent because all of a sudden everybody has started
doing
it.
Oh, yeah. Everybody got the idea. I mean, Henry Ford was doing kind of the same car for a long time, really pretty close.
Oh, yes.
But, they jumped in there, and they were the guys that started the whole thing. Anyway, congratulations to Tressy. And this week, Ransom Olds is a name that everybody should know. Ransom Olds was, of course, the guy, Oldsmobile, and he started the company, and then later on he sold it. And he left the company, and he actually produced the first gasoline lawnmower, which I'm not sure is a step up or a step down. But he was responsible for something that put Michigan on the map as a source for motor vehicles. They were made all over the country, but he was responsible for putting Michigan and Detroit specifically on the map. If you know what that is, get to us on Facebook. You can send us an email at contactus@horsepowerchromeandrust.com. And if you know, you too could get your name on the certificate for the Barn Find Dust, because that is a prize beyond price.
Well, and speaking of going back in time, I have discovered a cachet of...
A cache.
My wife would kill me for that. But anyways, a whole bunch of really cool old vintage movie, film, commercials with cars.
Oh,
and
right,
I'm going to
okay.
be
oh, cool.
starting to do a little editing and put little pops up onto our YouTube and probably just the Facebook.
Yeah. Well, that's cool.
I got a question for you, Brady. You know what the Oldsmobile was before it was Oldsmobile?
What?
REO Speedwagon. The REOs. Rios.
Rio.
Yep.
That's cool. I didn't know that. All right. Ron wins the trivia question this week.
Cool.
Hey, check out the Facebook page for the full color 8x10 winner's certificate. Also, you can, like I say, send us your answers. We reach over 1 million car enthusiasts every week. We're still in the top 10 of all the automotive podcasts on Podomatic. We thank you for that. Also, of course, do not forget that you can like our show, follow it, and do that on Facebook. You can also do it on YouTube because Steve is putting the videos up on YouTube. Thanks so much to Jose and Ciso Jr. for coming down and chatting with us about Triple X this week.
Cool.
Super, you can check out the calendar at triplexrootbeer.com. And that puts the cork in another one. For Ron Foreman and Steve Johann, I'm Brady Wright, saying keep your eyes on the road, your hands on the wheel, and your foot to the floor. Cruise on by next week. It's another Horsepower Chrome and Rust.